you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome into another edition of the Under Center podcast here on NBC Sports Chicago. I'm JJ Stankovic, joined as always by John Moon Mullen. Moon, we're going to do something a little different this week. The second half of this podcast will be, I had a chance to sit down with Zach Miller on Monday. I want to play the whole interview because it's really, really interesting. Just his outlook on life. Really good guy after such a devastating injury and how nothing has really changed in terms of his outlook on life. It's really incredible. So that's going to be the second half of this podcast. But the first half, start with this, Moon. Are you going to jump through any flaming tables on Sunday? Recreate the Bills Mafia experience from Chicago?
Oh, God. No, the... it's hard to get excited about some of these games, and this is one of those.
That's why you got to jump through a flaming table.
I guess. No, the interesting outlook to this game to me is, you know, Nagy's talked about how his team responded to a devastating defeat, then to a win, then to another devastating loss. You know, up and down, and here again, they're going to be favored.
I think they're 10-point favorites.
10?
Double digits.
Well, maybe that's before the line found out that Matt Barkley has been signed, and we know what Matt...
Have you seen Nathan Peterman? Matt Barkley might be better.
Oh, no, I'm sure he's better, actually. No, there's no shit about it. Matt Barkley, this is where I thought John Fox probably should have been coach of the year. He won a game with Matt Barkley as a starting quarterback. But anyway, so that's... that would account for the 10-point spread. But, you know, will they... we wondered about them. Did they take their foot off the mental gas with Miami when they found out that Tannehill wasn't starting?
Right.
And does that happen again in Buffalo? This is even worse. The Bills should go to a single wing or something. But
honestly, run the triple option.
Something. Yeah, it can't be any worse. And but it's how this team responds.
Right.
It's been up and down. And young teams do that. You know, they haven't learned sometimes how to put their... foot in somebody's throat and really put him away. You know, Nagy had to challenge him last week to step it up after, you know, not a great team. I mean, Jets were, I think, better than people realize in terms of certainly the defense.
Right.
And that's what it's going to be this week. So you hate to see them walk into a kind of this is going to be, they're looking at who's playing on offense and they're kind of ignoring that that's a pretty good defense.
Right. That is a really good defense. And I think that's the starting point for this game. The Bills have only allowed 3 plays of 30 or more yards. Two of which I believe were Aaron Rodgers passes. Mitch Trubisky, for all he's done well this year, he's not Aaron Rodgers. I think this is kind of the challenge for the Bears, and Mitch Trubisky talked about it on Wednesday, that it's taking what the defense gives you and not trying to force it. And I think what's interesting is that we've seen Trubisky throw it deep a lot more over the last couple weeks, whether or not he's connected on those deep throws. The Bills don't seem like a defense that's going to allow it. And Matt Nagy talked about it's kind of controlled chaos to the point where Tom Brady, the quarterback who's seen everything, was kind of getting happy feet a little bit on Monday Night Football. So this is not going to be a cakewalk from an offensive standpoint. From the defense, the Bears' defense against this Bills' offense, it's about doing pretty much what they did against the Jets, which is clamp down, don't do anything stupid, like commit a unnecessary roughness penalty on third down and give them a first down.
Or two of them, right.
Or two of them. One was on offense, one was on defense. And just play your game and suffocate this bad offense.
Keep it in poor field position. A lot of third and longs because they're not going to have quarterbacks that can complete that.
I don't even know if Nathan Peterman can throw 10 yards in the air.
I don't know. And Matt Barkley, touched on that. But the... what ideally the defense can do is give Trubisky and the offense a little shorter field. You know, if they're not being pushed backwards, eventually the flipping the field will work to their benefit. But this is a team with Hughes and Edmonds, who I really thought was a really good chance of Bears. To me, it was him or Roquan Smith, and they might not have gone wrong with either one. Big middle linebacker and Williams in front of them. It's not a bad team. So what ideally that can happen is putting Trubisky, getting balls at the Chicago 45 once in a while.
Right.
So you only got to go 20, 30, 50 yards for points. So that, and I think then you wonder, as Buffalo did against New England, things can break later.
Yes.
Keep the pressure on a really good team, and sometimes something's going to break.
Exactly.
And maybe it'll be a pick six like New England got.
So. Yeah. I want to read you off a box score here. This is fun. So, September 24th, 2016, quarterback number one had a line of 35 of 46, 453 yards, 5 touchdowns. Quarterback number two, 14 of 18, 140 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Quarterback number one, Mitch Trubisky. Quarterback number two, Nathan Peterman. This is when they played in college. And yet somehow this game was 37-36 North Carolina. Nathan Peterman, 14 of 18 for 140, no touchdowns, and yet his offense still scored 36 points. James Conner helped with that. Just kind of a funny little side note here. Two quarterbacks have faced each other before in completely different circumstances.
And there were people who thought Peterman was the steal of the draft coming out. He was going to be another Dak Prescott. Who in our press room thought that, but I don't. It seems like this is a case where once you lose that mojo, maybe you never get it back. We didn't really follow Peterman at all. In fact, he goes, the first half he plays, he throws 5 picks last year. But this is a chance to take advantage of somebody. That's a funny line, though.
Your team wins by one. You throw 5 touchdowns and 453 yards. The opposing quarterback throws for 140 yards, no touchdowns, and yet, again, you win by one.
You think you're playing Navy then.
Exactly. Right. I think that this is an opportunity for the Bears defense to, yet again, you can probably give Khalil Mack the week off. I think that would probably wind up being beneficial. We saw the Bears make that decision against the Jets where they, the calculus was we can help Mack's ankle heal while also lock down this offense. That's exactly what they did. The Bills offense, while you're going on the road, the Bills offense is, the difference in Nathan Peterman to Sam Darnold is night and day. Mm-hmm. And Sam Darnold, like Nathan Peterman, has thrown 10 interceptions this year, just over, I think Peterman's is over 80-something passes. And, he's just a really bad quarterback in a way that Brock Osweiler is a bad quarterback, but Brock Osweiler knew Adam Gase's offense. I don't know if Nathan Peterman knows any offense.
Yeah, and the funny part is you mentioned the numbers. Certain guys, it's something like Peterman, you think, if you're taking one sack every 8 pass plays, that's bad.
Yeah.
If you're throwing one pick every 8 pass plays,
that's horrible.
That's bad for...
How do you have a job?
That's bad high school. So we'll see what they do, but it's still going to be a matter, can they deal with Jerry Hughes and a defense that really, they don't care how bad the offense is. And, this could be, the 13-10 scrum, when I'm sure Buffalo's going to want to keep the game short. I mean, they may not throw. I mean, there may be, let's keep the clock moving. LeSean McCoy can do a lot more damage with the ball in his hands than Peterman, Barkley, or whoever else is there.
Yeah, on the defensive side, too, they got Tre'Davious White, a pretty good cornerback, and 4 interceptions last year. There's talent on that side of the ball. And I just think, overlooking this team, and I don't think the Bears are doing that. I think that you hope not.
Yeah.
But maybe this game will wind up being somewhat similar to the Cardinals game, where you go on the road against a salty defense and a nothing offense, and it winds up being closer than you expect.
Yeah, good comparison.
As opposed to, I don't think this is the Dolphins game, because the Dolphins had, Albert Wilson, Frank Gore, Kenyon Drake, the talent on that offense. The Bills offense is just kind of bereft of that. With LeSean, it's similar to kind of the Cardinals, the Jets. I think this is where this game falls into more. But that being said, the Bears won both those games, and I think Trubisky has made significant strides from week 3 to now going into week 9 to where you can say, okay, they're probably not going to only manage 16 points. They're probably going to do a little better than that. But if you can avoid the kind of calamitous turnover in Bills territory that gives them free points, and you force the Bills to drive long distances, they're probably not going to get in the end zone.
Yeah, and you just, again, this will get into that mental side of things. The Bears won without Mac and also without Allen Robinson.
Right.
And that actually may be, I won't say a negative, but we can beat these. We beat somebody better than these guys without our two guys. And again, I am actually in favor of not playing Mac, not because they're so much better than the Bills, but like we talked about, he's a liability. Maybe less so if he's coming up the field, but he's not. Is he as good as? Well, he probably is as good as Kylie Fitz or Isaiah Irving,
or Leonard Floyd.
Yeah, or Leonard Floyd. Right. Not naming names. Sorry about that. But no, you wonder if again. And frankly, JJ, if it's a problem, it's happening right now because guys will say, when you get to Sunday, you're in the game mode.
Yeah.
Where overconfidence bites you is during the week, and you don't prepare as hard as you should. And guys say, you don't put that, watch that extra 5 minutes of film. You don't watch another set of reps by so-and-so. You hope that they're not, this game could be lost this week rather than Sunday if they don't prepare.
Before we get out of here in the first half, a quick word on Kyle Long. It's kind of a relief that the Bears are not just immediately putting him on injured reserve. And you just feel so bad for the guy. He's been through so much. The fact that his toughness was questioned last year, absolutely ridiculous. Give me a break. He's one of the toughest players on this team.
Nobody questioned it to his face.
Exactly. Well, right. Yeah, I'd like to see some of the folks out there on Twitter come up to him and say that. But look, the fact that the door is still open, Ian Rappaport reported 6 to 8 weeks on the recovery. Matt Nagy said it's week to week with the foot. It's an issue with the tendon. Look, if you can get Kyle Long back for week 17, or for looking ahead, the playoffs, that's a good thing, not just for the health of this offense, but just for Kyle Long, because Kyle Long has suffered through so much losing that if this team made the playoffs and he couldn't be a part of that, that would be such a cruel blow to him.
Yeah, and frankly, I suspect, they will never say this, and they never did with Kevin White, but I was told with White, with the stress fracture, if they'd been 8-5, he was eligible to come back at week 13, game 13. If they're 8-5, he's active.
Right.
They were 5-8, I believe, or whatever the final, 5-8, and they shut him down. So if they get to the point, I think that'll be interesting, as you say, JJ, if the playoffs are looming, is he then might be in the class of Mac and Robinson.
Right.
Is half of him better than all of Eric Kush or whatever?
We saw half of Kyle Long last year. He was not healthy for those 10 games that he played, and Kyle Long was one of their better offensive linemen last year, even when he wasn't 100%.
Yeah. So you just hope that it's healthy enough. And for the Bear fan, you hope that they're in good position where, let's bring him back.
Right.
If suddenly the bottom falls out and they're, they're 6-9, they're not bringing him back. So, some of it may depend on the record, and that has happened before. So we'll see.
Yeah, well, keep your hopes up for Kyle Long here in this building. I know everyone else is. We're going to get out of here on the Under Center podcast. Stay tuned for the second half, which is my sit-down interview with Zach Miller. Mm-hmm. And Moon, thanks for joining. And read all your stuff on NBC Sports Chicago this week. We got a lot of stuff planned leading up to the game against the Buffalo Bills.
Yep.
For monster coverage of the Monsters of the Midway, download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Keep the Bears at your fingertips every day of the week. Download the app today.
So, Zach, you posted on Instagram this morning. It's been 365 days since the injury. Life changes. Will you?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that?
I said, do you.
Do you. Sorry. Do you. Life changes. Do you.
Do you.
Yeah.
I posted that intentionally. How did you read it? As a question or a statement?
I read it as life will always change, but how will you change with it? Mm-hmm. Obviously, your life has changed significantly in the last 365 days.
Yeah.
So how have you changed with it?
I don't know that I have. See, that was the purpose of this thing.
Because I like it.
Where are you at in that moment? Do I feel like I was at a point where I needed to change?
Mm-hmm.
And strive to get better, work and do those things. And so this is a, I like this question. This is, I love to see you start it out because this is how, this is what I'm striving for. If you took it as a statement, mm-hmm. do you, you felt like you're in that good place where I can continue to carry on and do what I've done mm-hmm. and continue to grow, because we all change through life. But if you took it as a question, the question is, do I need to change? Mm-hmm. As life changes, do I need to do something different for me to be better? And it's both for me, because I'm comfortable where I was at mentally, being able to get through this thing, but I knew I needed to grow throughout this thing because it was a challenge. Mm-hmm. And I'm changing through it. I've learned patience, the perseverance, all the stuff that I've had before. This is on a next level mm-hmm. type thing for me. So it was intentionally put out there for that reason, for people to take it the mm-hmm. way that they needed to help them with anything they're going in.
So from your perspective, your body changed.
Yeah.
I mean, you've had 9 surgeries. You said the last was January 12th.
Yep.
But your outlook has not. It's still yep. the same outlook you had on October 28th, 2017.
Yes, very much so. You hit the nail right on the head.
I mean, you talked a little bit about having people reach out to you and kind of trying to be that inspirational figure mm-hmm. for them, and kind of the weight that comes with that. But on some level, how fulfilling is it that you are able to kind of impact people's lives positively, and yeah. you know, post even just with a simple Instagram post yeah. like you did there?
And this is a position where it's a little surreal for me at that moment, you know? The weight that comes with it, if you have that, if you can have that impact, I feel like it's a responsibility to use it mm-hmm. and help anybody any way that you can, even in a little ways. So I continue to do that. And if that's the impact that it has on them, I love it. And if it misses, but if it's there to spread some positivity, mm-hmm. I think I don't have, that's not a job. That's something that I want to do mm-hmm. and willing to do.
You talked a little bit about normalcy and how today you woke up and it just kind of felt like a normal day yeah. and you're not thinking about the last 365 mm-hmm. days. But you did also mention that there are some days where it felt like it was, you know, 48-hour day yeah. and just trying to make it through it. To get to the point where you're at, where you can wake up and feel like it's a normal day,
yeah.
can you just kind of describe what that process and how difficult that was to get here?
That was difficult, just because of the grueling physical pain and mental mm-hmm. anguish I was going through. In that moment, it felt like it would never end. Even last night or 2 nights ago, I remember specifically laying in bed and I was comfortable. Mm-hmm. It had been a while since I had been in that state. You know, there was a point where I had bars on my legs and they had to be propped up and I couldn't roll over and I wasn't sleeping but an hour or two a night. So now where I'm at and just everyday things that become back to being normal again, mm-hmm. it's just a good place to be at.
Did that freak you out at all, that you felt comfortable?
It didn't freak me out. It's just like, all right, mm-hmm. it's just another step, knowing that I'm going in the right direction and that this is all working.
What have you learned about not taking things for granted? Because, I mean, yeah. everyone, most people, when they lay down in bed, they take it for granted that they're comfortable.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a minor, you know, pain or, oh, my yeah. back hurts a little bit. But for you to go through that long, not be able to lay down in bed and yeah. feel comfortable, not to be able to walk with your kids down the block and do all these things, I mean, what's your sense of just not taking anything for granted anymore?
I'm just thankful to not you know, feel those feelings I had 3, 4, 5, mm-hmm. 6 months ago. I'm thankful to have a leg, because I've met people that don't mm-hmm. have been in the same situation that I am in, and they had their legs removed. So I've seen what people have went through, and I've seen it firsthand what I've gone through. Mm-hmm. I've seen what it's taken away, but I've also seen what it's given me, and I'm just thankful that I'm able to get back to doing those things and run around with the kids, walk my daughter mm-hmm. to the school bus, run around with my son in the backyard, you know, get myself in and out of the shower. Those mm-hmm. are things that, as a grown man, you're getting help getting into the shower is humbling. So, and I'm never too proud to accept some help, but I'm glad that I'm able to do those things now.
Keeping this positive outlook, you know, you mentioned it's always been kind of in you,
mm-hmm.
but the support of your family, your wife, your kids, the Chicago Bears organization. I mean, how much has that helped keep that mindset on, you know, some of the worst days, like you mentioned, some of the worst days help you out, and then on some of the best days make them even better?
I think just because the small amounts that you do go to those dark places where you do dwell, you have good people around you, not only family, but then your extended family, the Bears organization, and everybody here within this building, and then the fan base spread across the world. When you're in those moments, they make you happy. They bring you out of it. They say, okay, people care about you, and everybody wants to be cared about. Everybody wants to be loved and feel that. So the human emotion that I've felt throughout this entire thing, it softens you a little bit. But it's a beautiful thing, and it's helped me throughout this entire journey.
You mentioned back when this contract was signed with the Bears that the team didn't have to do this. Yeah. The NFL players get chewed up and spit out after they're injured, and you've been so grateful publicly for, you know, George McCaskey, for Ryan Pace, for this entire organization.
Yeah.
Now that you've got a chance, excuse me, to be in this building every day, to rehab in this building every day, to be around your teammates every day, how beneficial has that been for you as well?
I mean, that's got to be right up there with all the top things that have gotten me through this. There's no secret how much I care and appreciative of Mr. McCaskey and Ryan and all those, Coach Nagy and all those guys that you've mentioned, to allow me to continue to be part of this family. It's special. It, like you said, they chew them up and spit them out. That's what sets this place apart, and it's a special franchise for that reason, and I feel blessed to be a part of it. So for me, being here every day helps through that journey, that grind that I got to continue to do, because you're chewed up and spit out, and you carry on. You could be in a different place,
and you could not have the facilities to go about the rehab.
Absolutely.
What is your daily routine like here at House Hall?
It starts with the rehab. You know, in between there, that's a grueling process, a strenuous process, and you know, those guys, the athletic training staff, has done a great job through that transition, getting in here, figuring out, you know, because that's a new staff, and they figure that out, and they've done a great job pushing me, taking care of me. Not where I'm at physically without them and the strength and conditioning guys. So don't make sure that those guys are known that they're helping me out. And then it's just transition from there to hitting a couple cut-ups, getting to the tight end room and watch a little bit of tape, work out, practice, probably come back and, you know, finish up some more cut-ups, but it's a boring day for me. I don't do much.
Is there some level of this being kind of bittersweet that you are in this building, you are part of this team, you go out on Sundays and you watch this offense put up 31, 38, 28 points, have all this success, and to not be a part of it, is that bittersweet at all for you?
That's a selfish part of somebody, I think, and I'm sure we all have that. I've felt it at times, and then I sit back and say, all right, shut up, because look where you're at. You know, Coach Nagy put up a wee before me, and I think that gauges us well, is where we're at, and then myself as well. I can see that and think that as much as I want to be a part of it and be out there, I still am. It's not in that capacity, so I'm just trying to find what I can do well here, help anyway, and I just don't do the physical part of it.
What's been your impression of Matt Nagy? I mean, he's a guy, again, new staff coming in. You know, it's not the guys who you knew previously. And to get to know you, to still involve you to the level that he has, I mean, what does that speak to who he is as a person?
He's an amazing individual, not put football aside. He's someone that I think most everybody would want to hang around with just because he's fun, a positive individual, which... the likeness of it, I think that's probably why I'm drawn to him, because he's that way. And his teaching ability and the way that he approaches people and speaks, it's It's impressive, and I've seen it from day one, and I've told him that. The transition that we've made, I've been in the NFL going on 10 years, and I've seen some of those, and it's been seamless. So I'm thankful for him. I think a lot of Chicago's thankful for him, and I love the dude. I love the way that he coaches, teaches, interacts. Really, everything he's done from the moment he's been here has been excellent.
You've said you're not ready to give up on this, you know, trying to get back into the league yet. You haven't been told no. You haven't been told yes. But is it difficult? I mean, I know you're a year out.
Yeah.
But is it difficult at all to not try to project and set goals of, like, I need to be running by this date. I need to be cutting by this date.
Yeah.
Have you got to, have you, when did you hit that point where you maybe weren't,
I don't know,
looking ahead?
It's difficult because I don't know when I'm even allowed to do that.
Right.
The thing of the goal, because I was going to continue to play if the injury didn't happen. You know what I mean? So I wanted to continue to play. So at this point, I looked at it as I wanted to continue that anyways. So I need to do this and attempt, because if the door shuts and I gave it everything I got, it's closed and I'm good with that. But if I'd have said, all right, it's over with just because of this, but knowing that I wanted to continue to play, and if I would have just shut it down and not attempted, there would have been that what-if factor. And I didn't want to live with that, so I'm going to attack it this way and carry on.
It's kind of last one. When you go home today and you go home to your family and you kind of go about the day going back to being normal, and it's not, hey, it's been 1 year since I suffered this horrible injury, you know, came close to having my leg amputated. When you go home and you have just this normal day, and it's kind of like what I was asking about earlier, when you're comfortable in bed, it doesn't freak you out. When you just go home and have this normal day, do you have to think at any point about your knee, about not taking it for granted? Do you have to remind yourself to not take it for granted, or is that just something that at this point you don't ever have to remind yourself ever again?
I don't think I'll ever remind myself again, just because of that was a lot to go through. I know it because I went through it. I made it through it. So I look back at it and I still have those feelings. I still have nerve issues and stuff where I'm like, man, I can't feel my leg right now. But I'll never ever take those things for granted, because I don't want to go back to dealing with what that was.
Cool. Thank you, Zach.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, brother.